Hour number two of our radio program. That's right. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports. Right up at the top of the hour, Coach Dan Mullen will join us, formerly of Mississippi State and then also Florida. He'll stop by the Zach Gelb Show. You got two games tonight in college football that will generate some noise. A lot of people curious to see what Matt Rhule's going to do year one at Nebraska going up against Minnesota. And PJ Fleck has been a really solid coach now for a while in college football. And also later this evening, you do have Florida up against Utah, a game that did go Florida's way last year. And that was a big game for Anthony Richardson. And unfortunately, looks like no Cam Rising tonight for the Utes, as you did have Cam Rising up against Hickey's Penn State Nittany Lions in that Rose Bowl, unfortunately suffer the torn ACL. And this is a big year for Billy Napier in the Swamp. So we'll see how this does go down between Utah and Florida. This game over at Utah's campus. So looking forward for this one this evening. And you do have Graham Mertz making his debut for Florida after all those years at Wisconsin. And some people are optimistic on Graham Mertz, and I understand why there's been pushback to that. But I will say, a year ago, who would have thought heading into this year that Bo Nix would have done what he did at Oregon after what we saw at Auburn? Other than that first start, there was a lot of disappointing moments for Bo Nix where you thought there could be more. And then you look at Michael Penix Jr. outside of that run really up against Penn State, it was marred, unfortunately, with injuries. He goes to Washington, you don't expect anything. And Michael Penix Jr. made a heck of a case for a Heisman Trophy last year and is one of the better quarterbacks in the nation. So looking forward to chop it up with Dan Mullen coming up at the top of the hour. And then in the final segment of the show at 9:40 p.m. Eastern, 6:40 p.m. Pacific, we will preview the Seattle Seahawks, a former Seahawks linebacker, now a part of their radio broadcast in Dave Wyman. But NFL season right around the corner. We'll do some more college football throughout the show. Let's get a little NFL music going, because we're going to do an offensive rookie of the year draft. And I'm going to go here with the first pick, and I'm going to start what I think is a trend for this year with the offensive rookie of the year. My first selection will be a team that I have winning the NFC South. I know people on WFNZ are probably already slamming their text line to Mac and Bone. What's this idiot Gelb saying? What is he doing picking the Falcons to win the NFC South? Well, big reason is I think Bijan Robinson's going to win offensive rookie of the year. So I will take Bijan Robinson with my first selection. Hickey, what do you got?
I'll take the best quarterback from last year's draft, number one overall pick, Bryce Young. He'll win the award.
Look at that. Now you're trying to kill him with kindness on WFNZ, where they were going after you for saying the Bucks were going to win the NFC South. And then all of a sudden you try to sweeten up the feelings of the folks that listen to us on WFNZ by taking their quarterback in Bryce Young, who you wish was your quarterback.
Always been a Bryce guy. Always been a Bryce guy. Size is the most overblown thing I've ever heard when it comes to someone coming out of college.
So that's fine, and I think Bryce Young's going to be a really good quarterback. I just don't expect that situation in Carolina to be good this year. Well, I'm not going to say they're going to be horrible, and you don't need to have a great team to win offensive rookie of the year. A lot of these awards, you have to have a great team, and you have to be in the playoffs to win the award. I don't think that has to be the case with the offensive rookie of the year. But when I look, like, for example, the Jets last year had 7 wins. They were offensive rookie of the year and defensive rookie of the year. But when it comes to Bryce Young, that offensive line isn't as good as I thought it was. And then the receiving weapons leave a lot to be desired. And Miles Sanders, I know we've been talking about a lot of teams that are underrated. I think Miles Sanders is an overrated running back. Now, you do have a coach in Frank Reich that knows how to coach a young quarterback. That is for sure. But let's see what Frank Reich does now with another opportunity as a head coach, because last year was a disaster in Indianapolis. Last 2 years, really, a disaster in Indianapolis. And those teams were just never prepared, where he did not win a first half at all last year for the Indianapolis Colts. All righty, my next pick here, I kind of teased what I was going to do. I said running back is going to be a trend. If it's not Bijan Robinson, I will go with Jahmyr Gibbs. That Lions team can be a playoff team this year. I'm still curious how good Jared Goff can be. No Jameson Williams the first 6 weeks. I know you have Amara St. Brown, who is a phenomenal football player, but I think they're going to utilize Jahmyr Gibbs a lot to try to justify that 12th overall pick on him. So I would go Jahmyr Gibbs as my next choice for Offensive Rookie of the Year.
You keep your trend. I will also keep mine of picking a quarterback. I'm going to go with my guy, Anthony Richardson, running, passing, especially, which hopefully is not the case, but at least early on, without Jonathan Taylor, if there's any sort of success, it's going to be on him, which only, I think, get him a little or garner a few extra votes his way. I'll go the dual threat capabilities of AR.
Where's your confidence with that offensive line? Because last year, that was like the highest paid offensive line in football, and they were just brutal. Where is the confidence of the offensive line heading into this year?
Cautiously optimistic. I still want to see more. I'm not sold they're going to have a huge bounce back year, but so far there are steps that say, I would be surprised if it's as bad as it was last year.
I can't get any worse.
So I think they will have a bounce back season. Now, will it be a top five offensive line? No. But even getting to top 15 level is exponentially better than what it was last year.
That offense on paper stinks. Line's a question mark. Like, I like Michael Pittman, but I don't know if he has not shown me yet that he's a number one wide receiver. Jonathan Taylor not there. The running back position is a mess. The reason why you could be right here is because the offense is all going to be Anthony Richardson. It's either him throwing the football or him running the football. And if he's going to win this award, I think it means that the Jonathan Taylor situation even gets messier, which it probably will be. And I saw the Justina Anderson report today that both the Dolphins and Packers are both willing to give running back Jonathan Taylor a contract that placed them among the highest paid running backs in the NFL entering the season. But you had the other report from yesterday from Mike Chappell that they don't think that this is going to get smoothed over anytime soon. That's still a major question mark to me, where I agree with you, it doesn't benefit Jonathan Taylor to sit out more games, but it's clear that, yes, he had a legit ankle injury, but now him still being on the PUP list and missing the first four games of the year is because the contract did not get worked out and did not get taken care of. And I just don't know when Jonathan Taylor is going to come back. So for the sake of your argument, even though I don't like this Colts team and I think the roster is horrendous, Richardson's going to have to do everything. And even when you get Jonathan Taylor back, how many weeks is it going to take for him to knock off some of the rust with games that he missed last year and really not being available at all at any point this offseason? All righty, my next pick. I don't think this guy is the best wide receiver that was drafted this year, but environment matters. And it's not just because he sang a Kodak Black song the other night at the team dinner, but Lamar Jackson keeps on talking so positively about Zay Flowers. And you look at that receiving unit for the Baltimore Ravens, there's question marks. Rashad Bateman, question mark. Odell Beckham now, question mark. Zay Flowers has speed. Speed kills in that offense. I think he's going to be a tremendous player for them this season. And Lamar, you could tell, has already been won over by Zay Flowers. I will go with Zay Flowers out of Boston College as my next pick for Offensive Rookie of the Year.
I was hoping you're going to go with another receiver so I could take Zay here.
So you like the Zay Flowers pick?
I do. It's a receiver room that's unproven.
Which you would agree, I don't think Zay Flowers was your number one wide receiver in this draft class.
No, but it's all about situation. Like I said,
exactly.
I mean, Jackson Smith Jigba is a guy that's really good. Is he going to, you know, get a lot of targets in Seattle? We'll see. That's not where I'm going, though. I'm going Jalen Hyatt because
I like that.
Wide receiver room in New York is unproven and wide open. You get that deep threat built with Daniel Jones. You now build some chemistry. That's a guy that absolutely could demand a lot of targets going forward. He's now wearing Odell Beckham's number 13. So maybe the confidence is there. The swag is there. I'll go Jalen Hyatt.
Now, I don't really know how that number process works. Do you think the Giants encouraged him to wear 13? I was talking to our buddy Marash, who's now a big radio superstar down the hall at WFAN. And Marash was kind of saying, maybe this is the Giants wanting him to wear 13 so they could try to erase the Odell Beckham tenure, which started off really strong, but then it was so ugly at the end.
I don't think that, like, frankly, I don't think the Giants care. I think it's a player thing.
I agree with you.
Like, the team does not. Because it does also, sure, Jalen Hyatt plays well. Now, maybe in like 4 years, you'll think of him first at 13, not Odell Beckham Jr. But that's him playing at an all-pro level, playing great for 4 years. I think you only bring attention to it now because of the still recency of him wearing that number.
And if you look at the individual stats, even if you are optimistic on Jalin Hyatt, he's going to come nowhere close to touching the first 3 years of what Odell Beckham did. Like, the way that we talk about Justin Jefferson now was the way that we talked about Odell Beckham through those first 3 years, what he was able to do with the Giants.
And if you want to succeed, like, I know, look, everyone has pressure on him, but you're only, if the Giants are pushing it, if, hey, basically, we want you to be OBJ 2.0, look, the kid's already got a hard job as it is. You're just adding pressure, like I said, you're adding expectations that are unrealistic.
Do we ever get an answer on why Josh Jacobs changed his number from 28 to 8?
Alabama number.
But why change it after wearing 28? When you were in the NFL for the last 3-4 years. That was one that I just didn't get. Maybe it's like a fresh new start. He's kind of thinking at it after what was a tumultuous offseason.
I think last year was the first year you can change without getting fined or having to pay whatever, mm-hmm. the jersey number. So I don't know. Was Stidham number 8? He might have been. I got to look at the roster last year. I don't know if 8 was taken last year.
I don't think Jared Stidham, even if he was 8, was going to be the reason why Josh Jacobs wouldn't get his way with the Raiders.
If you're Josh Jacobs, do you want to pay, pay for someone's dinner to get a number? Or are you fine with 28?
I know he didn't get a new contract, but I think he could afford a Jared Stidham dinner. That guy probably is like you. He has bland food tastes, I would imagine.
Jared's? No way.
I'm sure I would imagine.
Listen,
that.
I eat fine dining too.
No, you don't.
I eat well, so that's does a Jared lie. Stidham.
You have pasta every night. That's not fine dining.
Because I eat here. I can't eat with my hands. I can't get this place dirty.
What's the last fine dining place that Hickey went to?
That I went to? I got to think. I don't know. But, like, if I had the opportunity where I was not working nights and I was at home making dinner every night, I do have nice taste. I just would be more creative with the meals. It's more about efficiency here than it is trying to just eat well.
You eat like a toddler. That's what
you do. I was trying to eat healthy.
Pasta every night ain't healthy. Yeah, pasta, chicken nugget guy, peanut butter and jelly sandwich guy. Those are the three Hickey food groups.
Oatmeal in the morning, don't forget. That's healthy.
Oatmeal in the morning? Yeah. You eat the same thing.
I do. It's simple. I don't get sick of it.
I can map out Monday through Sunday what Hot Take Hickey is devouring. All righty, my next pick. This team has a lot of weapons, and they have a crowded tight end room. But I will go to Buffalo, where they will have a lot of big offensive numbers this year. I will take Dalton Kincaid, who was my favorite tight end in this draft class, out of Utah. Got to stay healthy, though.
This is a value pick in number 4. I don't believe it, but I'll just take it just for the chance of it. I'll sweep the quarterbacks. I'll go C.J. Stroud here. Again, I don't think he's having a big year. I think for me, out of the 3 rookie quarterbacks, he's going to have the worst year. But if I'm wrong, if I'm dead wrong and he balls out, I got him.
I'm not taking a quarterback because I don't think either of these three quarterbacks are going to win rookie of the year. I will go wide receiver here. Now, this is for me between Quentin Johnston and Jackson Smith and Jigba. Both crowded wide receiving rooms where you have Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, you got DK Metcalf, and you also got Tyler Lockett. You look at the quarterbacks here. Herbert's a better quarterback than Geno Smith. And then also, Keenan Allen and Mike Williams miss a lot of games. So I think Jackson Smith and Jigba is the best wide receiver out of all the rookies, but just has that wrist surgery. He's now back at practice. We'll see when he's going to be able to get on the field for a game. I'll go Quentin Johnston here, who I don't think is a better wide receiver than Jackson Smith and Jigba, but it's not by leaps and bounds, but it's more so the environment. Herbert, a great quarterback, and those two wide receivers in front of him, they do miss a decent amount of games.
So I would want to get spicy. I'll be honest. I'll give you a pick that I'm not going to make. I'll do the old Danny Age. I would love to pick this guy, but I'm not going to do it.
Who are you, the Packers?
I would have loved to pick Aiden O'Connell here. As to buy into the preseason hype, Jimmy G's not going to stay healthy. He comes in like week 4, lights it up, mm-hmm. kind of Brock Purdy style. I'm not going to do that, though.
Can I try to guess who you're picking?
Sure. I can give you 5 guesses. I don't think you're going to do it. I'll even tell you the position.
Okay, what's the position?
Wide receiver.
So then it's not JSN. That's too easy.
Not Jackson Smith and Jigba. Too crowded.
It's not Jordan Addison. Then.
Same thing. Too crowded. Too many targets.
Oh, is it the Kansas City receiver, Rice?
Rashee Rice. It is not Rashee. I'm banking on a big Sky Moore breakout year here.
Jonathan Mingo?
It is not Jonathan Mingo.
Cedric Tillman?
Not Cedric Tillman.
I think I'm out of guesses here. AFC or NFC?
AFC.
AFC rookie receiver.
drafted? The team drafted, very good college career. Pretty good college career, I would say. I think 1 year's not his fault.
And you already took Jalin Hyatt off the board.
A team I believe in this year that is getting ripped up by the injury bug. Marvin Mims Jr. out of Oklahoma. You have every right now Denver receiver getting hurt. Tim Patrick, unfortunately, is out again. Like, the wide receivers are dropping like flies. So you know what? Marvin Mims Jr. was a damn good receiver at Oklahoma. Now, all of a sudden, he's going to be thrusted into the starting lineup or thrusted onto the field way more than he should have been because for the sheer body count that they're losing right now, that's a guy I'm going to take a flyer on with the fifth pick in this rookie offensive rookie of the year draft and bet he has a big year and connects really fast with Russell Wilson.
So he was a second-round pick.
He's good. He's a good receiver.
But pause. I'm looking at the odds right here on DraftKings,
mm-hmm.
and they list 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 players. And on it.
That's fine.
I'm just saying.
Better value.
Just not on it. Maybe you should put a few shekels down on it.
I think I might.
So
great odds.
Here are the rookie of the year, offense rookie of the year picks in the draft. I go Bijan Robinson, Jahmyr Gibbs, Zay Flowers, Dalton Kincaid, Quinnen Johnson. Hickey goes with Bryce Young, Anthony Richardson, Jalin Hyatt, C.J. Stroud, and is the only person in radio, in the history of radio, because it's a one-year old thing, that will ever take Marvin Mims Jr. as offensive rookie of the year.
That's why you listen, folks.
So I deem Hickey could be stupid at times in terms of his opinions, but I think he watches the most college football out of anybody here at the network. And he's the most knowledgeable when it comes to college football. I'm going to be fascinated to see how we're talking about Marvin Mims Jr. at the end of the year. Because this is like a legacy moment for you. This is a legacy career defining moment for you. Where if he ends up going on to have an insane rookie year, not even win the award, just be in the conversation, we may have to retire the Hickey Hex. We may have to retire the Hot Take Hickey nickname. Because even though it would be a blind squirrel finding a nut once in a while, this would be a pretty impressive size acorn that you did find there, Hickey. If that ends up being a guy that's top five in the award.
3 catches for 59 yards in the preseason. Wow. Get in early, folks.
19.7 right yards now, per attempt, that means.
Get in early, 20 yards per catch. He's going to light it up.
You know how this works. Be heard in 3 weeks. He'll stub
his
toe.
Must be something in the water in Denver. These receivers can't stay healthy. He'll be on the field.
Stub his toe. That's what's going to happen. And the next thing you know, he'll be out for like 6 weeks. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. We'll come on back. The biggest key for 10 teams this upcoming year in the NFL.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
It is The Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Hickey, that rejoin cracks me up. It's a guy calling in saying, yeah, I don't really get to listen that much, but whenever I get to listen, you know, I appreciate what you do and I like the show. Yeah, I guess it's a nice compliment, but we want you to listen more, obviously.
I get it. Okay. I was thinking more like, hey, you know, he's busy with life. You know, we're on most nights or afternoons. People are busy. So I figured, okay, it's nice that at least when he listens in here and there, he likes what he hears. It's good for you. Okay. We can get
rid of it. I think we trash that one.
Okay.
I think we throw that in the trash can. We throw it in the dumpster. I'm not a fan of that rejoin.
Well, hopefully you don't change your mind. It's already been deleted.
I already deleted it? That quickly?
You say it and it happened. Well, what do I got to wait for?
You could so let's just say if some idiot around here, because I can guarantee this, we work with enough of them, just goes into the system and by mistakenly deletes something. That's it? It's gone? There's no like trash can for backup or anything?
There's a trash can. You could find it. But on this main computer, I'm sure there's a lot of trash in there. And depending on how it's labeled, you could find it fast or slow.
You know, Jack Stern's going to sabotage this show one day. Got to go in and just delete all the files.
Well, most are backed up. Someone deleted all my... Well, I don't say someone. There was an issue with my show...
Is that right?
...a month ago where everything was deleted. Now, Doug, our audio engineer wizard, has everything, for the most part, saved as a backup. So, able to get it, no problem.
Now, did you have a lot of files in there?
No. Nothing crazy. I don't use a lot of imaging or, you know, don't have a ton built up yet since the show's, you know, only once a week. But it was, I mean, enough stuff to where show was going to sound different.
Your key card was still working the next day?
I'm still here. It was a month ago. Okay. No one has said boo since.
Do you think that's someone intentionally trying to bring you down there? Or do you think that was by mistake? Because I know that you're also in the mix here, right? You interviewed for that DA producing job replacing Sean Marash. And I wonder if maybe some other people are trying to get in your head a little bit to try to throw you off for the interview. Kind of like when teams on the road, they stay at a hotel and someone pulls the fire alarm at about 4 in the morning and disrupts the sleep pattern. You think someone was trying to sabotage Hot Take Kiki?
I don't think so. I mean, it's, I guess, a devilish way to go about it where I wouldn't expect it, where it's one of those where you could have blamed audio failures or just a computer failure. Interesting, though, tactic. I kind of like it, actually. It didn't work.
So sorry.
But I don't know.
Carlos with a K?
There's a lot of sabotage allegedly going on here. So I got to, maybe me and Maggie Gray are on the case.
Pat Boyle?
Possibly. Carlos just shook my hand before when we were changing shifts, so hopefully it wasn't someone who would shake my hand and then stab me in the back.
I don't want to tell you, there's a knife in your back right now.
Jeez.
What's the Maggie Gray sabotage line that you just said?
Someone's writing on her whiteboard, go Jets. She's a big Bills fan.
What's the whiteboard?
Something about the Bills.
I see it every day.
With the Bills.
Yeah, you're right.
But someone wrote on her board, go Jets. Knowing that she'd hate that as a big Bills fan. So I'm saying someone's sabotaging her, trying to get in her head. Maybe that same person all of a sudden is now going in the folders and deleting audio. So maybe we have one saboteur trying to take down the entire CBS Sports Radio family.
So that's what I had no clue what she was saying in the newsroom when she said, I'm watching you guys. And I'm like, what are you watching us for? And she goes, someone's messing with my board. I just had no clue what it meant.
And someone's trying to get in their head.
So someone wrote what? Go Jets on the board?
Go Jets and wide right, I guess, for the Bills Super Bowl miss.
Can I give you a long shot for that one?
Sure.
The long shot would be Connor Green. Nice guy.
Too nice.
Nicest guy ever, but a very underratedly funny guy. And I think he could pull a good prank. He's the guy that you don't expect. That would be my long shot. I'll give you my realistic culprit here. Let's think who's on before them. It's not me. It's not you. JR's in Atlanta. Maybe Amy, but I don't think Amy's going to go to that level. And I don't think Amy is a Jet fan. I don't know. I don't even know. Amy's a Bronco fan, right?
I think so. I think you're right.
So I would say that it's down to two people here. Rome's in L.A. Can't be him. Ryder in L.A. can't be him. My two people that I would guess here, Andrew Bogish. I don't think it's the A. But I could definitely see Bogues. That board's usually right where his seat is, so maybe he got annoyed with the placement of the board. So it could be Bogish. And then also, this guy's not a Jet fan, but he likes to play some pranks. He likes to stir the pot up a little bit. Could be Ack. It could be Rich Ackerman.
I don't think so.
I could see Ack playing a little prank like that.
He's not the controversial type. Not the confrontational type. Bogish is a good one.
It's definitely Bogish.
I don't know if he's a Jets fan. I guess that doesn't really matter because you're not, you know, you're more doing it to needle Maggie than you are, let's say, like, root for your team. That's why I don't think Connor would do it. I think he's too nice.
And I can see Bogues doing it in good fun, pretty much. Driving under the influence, by the way, marijuana is illegal. And law enforcement officers can tell if you're driving high. If you feel different, you drive different. Drive high. Get a DUI paid for by NHTSA. Ack, was that you? Are you drawing on Maggie Gray's whiteboard?
No.
You sure?
Of course. Well, I just gave you a resounding.
You're positive?
No. Yeah.
I'm just doing my interrogation. Yeah. You better start telling me the truth or that finger's going off.
There's no bright light in my face. This is not a tough interrogation.
I don't know,
at all.
Ack. You're looking a little suspect there. Ack's getting a little red.
If I did it, you'd know. You're like, look at how I terrorize Hickey every day.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's why I thought you were a culprit.
No.
So if I had to give you my power ranking, sir, and who's messing with Maggie Ray's whiteboard, I'll give you another surprise name. But here it is. I'll give you I'll go top four names here. I won't even give you a fifth one. Number one, without a doubt, Bogish. Two, Connor Green. Three, could be Perloff. sabotaging his own show.
I think Connor has been off this week.
Oh, okay. Do we need facts here?
I'm just saying.
Why do we have to go to the old school of journalism?
You know,
let's just stream things on the radio and accuse people of things.
If he's in town, he could just kind of slip in and, you know. He's
and not- then four will be Ack. I don't know. Ack looks too red. That devilish laugh that he has. I don't know. All right, Hickey, give me the teams here, and I'll tell you what their biggest key is for this upcoming season. Go ahead.
The Dallas Cowboys.
Quarterback, defense last year, championship caliber, really the last two seasons. They keep on getting better and better. They need their quarterback to step up in the big game, which he did not do up against the 49ers the last two postseasons.
The New York Giants.
Kayvon Thibodeau. I think the Giants on paper have a good offense and they can stay healthy. Defensively, they got to get more pressure on the quarterback. Dexter Lawrence, one of the better defensive linemen in the league. I like Bobby Okereke that signing this offseason, but now it's time for Kayvon Thibodeau to be one of the better players from that draft class where he was thought out to be. He needs to have a breakout season in year two.
The Minnesota Vikings.
Defense, defense, defense. Last year, the 31st ranked defensive unit in football. They just got to get to like 20th or 19th right now, and that could be a team that their offense will easily win enough games. The defense just has to be serviceable.
The Miami Dolphins.
Tua Tagovailoa's health. That team is so talented. They're awesome with Jalen Waddle. You also have Tyreek Hill. That team has some serious potential. I know you could also say the offensive line, but I got to see Tua Tagovailoa make it healthy throughout the entire season.
The Detroit Lions.
Jared Goff. Goff had a good season last year. That's a team that they are well constructed. I like some of the draft picks they made, especially in the trenches. Aiden Hutchinson, Penei Sewell as well. You have a good receiver in Amara St. Brown. Jahmyr Gibbs was a controversial pick, but he'll have a good rookie season. I need Jared Goff to finish the job here and be a very good quarterback in back-to-back years. Too many times you see him vacillate between good and good, and you need him to be very good this year.
The San Francisco 49ers.
You would agree, Hickey, most people would say quarterback, correct? When you look at the San Francisco 49ers.
Probably, yeah.
For me, it's Kyle Shanahan. Because Kyle Shanahan is fully responsible for all this weird, uneasy, whatever word he wants to use, quarterback situation in San Francisco. Kyle's telling you it's his system. It really doesn't matter who the quarterback is. They'll still find a way to win. I'm putting all the responsibility on the quarterback, on Kyle Shanahan, because he's the reason why Trey Lance is no longer there.
The New York Jets.
Offensive line, offensive line, offensive line. The Jets are loaded. The only thing that can hold them back this year is their offensive line.
The Buffalo Bills.
Von Miller. Last year, that team started to go in the wrong direction when Von Miller got hurt. When he was healthy, off the edge, got to Mahomes. Mahomes throws the pick. They beat Kansas City. I know he's not going to be there for the first four games of the year. You need Von Miller for the end of the season to be that player that gets them to a championship type of moment. And we've seen him before in two Super Bowls, played great with the Rams, and we all remember the Super Bowl MVP he won with the Denver Broncos.
Los Angeles Chargers.
Brandon Staley. You look at the Chargers. Defensively, they were hurt last year, but they have enough talent. Offensively, Herbert, Eckler, Williams, Allen. You have Quinton Johnston as well. Rashawn Slater on the offensive line. Zion Johnson on the offensive line. That coach just can't mess it up. He can, but he can't mess it up this year.
The Baltimore Ravens.
The health of Lamar Jackson. When Lamar Jackson is healthy, he's one of the more electrifying players in the league. And they're going to rely on Lamar now more, especially throwing the football. You've had a bunch of injuries the last 2 years, but I need to see, just like the Dolphins, with Tua Tagovailoa stay healthy, I need to see Lamar Jackson stay healthy as well. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll come on back. We'll update you some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. We call that segment the News Brief. Coach Dan Mullen is going to join us at the top of the hour at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. But now standing to my left is a man that we are investigating.
Standing?
Well, you're sitting. You're not wrong.
This
there.
Investigation's
like
not off to a good start.
By. You know, we try to sound like we're a radio show here, yeah, and we're all anchorman professionals. Standing by with the latest CBS Sports Radio update is a man that could be messing with Maggie Gray's whiteboard. He's that's a real creepy laugh. You're going to be getting investigated, Ack. We're going to have Spike Eskin come on in and be interrogating you.
Hey, my fingerprints are clean.
Did you wipe them off? You know, that's an erase board. It doesn't get rid of your fingerprints, though.
Erased them, yeah.
We have to have a camera in here somewhere, right?
Yeah, we have cameras all over the place.
Oh, yeah, that's true. They record us all the time. I'm like looking for like an old school security camera somewhere. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 cameras that are always rolling. And I'm sure Cap has one like hiding somewhere else. So we'll have to go investigate who's doing this. I'll place a phone call to Cap. I'll get right down to business here and figure out who's messing with Maggie Gray's whiteboard. Because we can't have that here at CBS Sports.
Absolutely
Radio.
Not.
You will fail. So what? Everybody does. But your gym, your watch, your yoga pants, they pretend you won't. So when you miss a day, eat the pancakes. Give up on a workout? You failed? Seriously, what the hell? We're BODi. We've been a part of that too. But not anymore. At BODi, we're rejecting perfection and embracing reality. Not in a Pizza Monday kind of way, in a loving your whole life kind of way. In a, this workout is fun and it's okay if I take a week off kind of way. In an, I'm eating healthy and it's okay if I indulge kind of way. In a, I like myself no matter what kind of way. Yeah, you will fail. We all will. But we're not gonna let that be the end. You see that? We're already making progress. So let's keep going. We are BODi. Start your free trial at BODi.com. That's BODi.com.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
So let's hear from Kyle Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan is asked if the quarterback shuffling is coming to an end.
The era of changing is, you know, when we got here, we waited 10 weeks, made a trade for a quarterback, played 5 games, and then we made him the highest paid quarterback of all time at the time. Then he played 2 of the next 5 years and did really good in those 2 years. His injuries for 3 of those 5 years were legit. It was rough on him, rough on us. And then we made a move to go to a younger quarterback, and that's what we did. We thought he'd be ready in 2 years, and he wasn't. And now we have a different younger quarterback. So that's the situation.
So the answer is then, no, it's not coming to an end. You got to see what that younger quarterback does in Brock Purdy, who had a really successful 8 games, let's call it, as a starting quarterback last year, 7, however you want to chalk it up. And now it's okay. We saw we were at Jimmy, then we saw where we thought we were going to be with Trey. And now I think it's kind of see what you got with Brock Purdy, that you could be confident with Brock Purdy. But it doesn't mean that the shuffling here is going to end, Ticky, because if Brock Purdy shows you why he was a 7th round pick and Mr. Irrelevant this year and not the quarterback that he was last year, then there'll be a new quarterback in San Francisco next season.
Absolutely. If the injuries happen to stack up again and Sam Darnold plays well and basically mimics what Brock Purdy did last year this year, then we'll have another quarterback next year. It's not the worst idea. Play the guy that's playing the best.
Kirk Cousins.
You want to put an end to the quarterback carousel? I guess that would do it. Mr. Durability.
Be good.
Until then, you want to move off of him because you can't win a Super Bowl, and then it's back to square one again.
Well, that team could win a Super Bowl with Kirk Cousins.
They could. I would agree. But just more just playing into the carousel, just continuing to spin.
So I'm going to ask you a question off of this one. I'll play you the clip first. Kyle Shanahan is asked if he agrees that the 49ers QB situation has been weird in past years based off what Jimmy Garoppolo said the other day.
Yeah, I think anytime you trade up to the 3rd pick in the draft and it doesn't work out, that's the weird situation. But that is the situation. So that's what happened. I don't think it's that weird. It's unusual that doesn't work out. But I wouldn't think that's weird. I think that's unusual.
So he says it's weird in the beginning, and then he says it's unusual. Is there really a difference between weird or unusual, Hickey?
I mean, technically, do I got to get the dictionary out? Technically, probably, but realistically, no.
Is he the most arrogant coach in football now, Kyle Shanahan, head coaches? For a while, people thought like that was Bill Belichick. But is now Kyle Shanahan taking that tag as the most arrogant coach in the NFL? Only head coaches.
Him and Bill are right there. I mean, Bill and put Matt Patricia at OC last year.
And at least Bill's won six Super Bowls.
No, I mean, Bill's earned the arrogance. Don't get me wrong. I mean, Kyle Shanahan with his offensive mind, I would say, is, I mean, not rings-wise, but offensive brilliance-wise has earned the arrogance as well. I would still say Bill's more arrogant. Not that I don't think it's a bad thing either, by the way, but when you put Matt Patricia as a defensive coordinator, as your OC, and thinking that's going to work, that, I think, is a no one's going to cross that bridge.
It's Shanahan almost makes me want to root against the 49ers this year.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I feel like there's always a stretch in the season for 4 or 5 weeks where I can't stand the guy, and then he wins me back over. Maybe it's just because we're in that phase right now before it starts, and it came earlier than what you look at with him. But there's always like a 3 to 5 week stretch where I just can't stand the guy. Because he's one of those guys. It's my system. This is probably not a fair comparison. But have you watched Winning Time on HBO?
Not season two, but season one.
Okay, so Paul Weston, all he does now is talk about the system. It's system. Get to your spot. He doesn't tell you the quarterback doesn't matter. It's all about my system. We'll find the way to get the job done.
He's been right.
Here is Mike McCarthy. He gives his early impressions of Trey Lance.
Very hardworking. We have a quarterback meeting room there. He's pretty much just kind of taking that over. The board's in there. The grease boards look like Beautiful Mind. I mean, so he's really dove into it.
I don't know why, Hickey. Every time Mike McCarthy speaks, he just mumbles. We're like, you could understand what he's saying, but I get so caught up in him mumbling, I just don't even know what he ends up saying because I'm just focused on the mumbling and all the stumbling that goes on when Mike McCarthy speaks.
I mean, look, I know it's someone who's been in the building for like, 5 days? And
what are you going to say?
Right, but he just sound, just from the sound, forget what he said, the actual words, just the tone of his voice, he did not, like, he could give a you-know-what. He did not care.
Well, because he knows it's a distraction.
Right. And again, it's more of a negative than a positive, but right, why is
it? Play the answer again, because I got to now focus on what he actually said.
Very hardworking. We have a quarterback meeting room there. He's pretty much just kind of taking that over. The board's in there. The grease boards look like Beautiful Mind. I mean, so he's really dove into it.
He's already taken over the quarterback room and the board in the quarterback room?
And that makes sense in the sense he's trying to learn the playbook.
Is that a Skip Bayless take coming up on? I think Skip's a fan of Dak Prescott.
I'll be honest, I don't know. I don't care.
I don't think he is.
I go out of my way to not see anything from that show.
I don't think he is, but this could probably be a Skip Bayless take on Tuesday, actually, because I think everyone's off on Monday for Labor Day, where he'll say, "This is why Dak Prescott isn't the guy. Look, Trey Lance already marking his territory in that QB room." On FS1.
Like a dog.
What do you think, Keyshawn? What do you think, Richard Sherman? What do you think, Rachel Nichols? What do you think, Jacinta Anderson? Anyone else? Michael Irvin. What do you think? They add someone new to that show every day. They're not going to have enough seats at the desk.
Small desk.
Let's go to Jamar Chase on how he thought Joe Burrow looked after returning to practice with the calf injury.
I didn't see no hobble or nothing. I didn't see really much. But from what I've seen, he looks good. He doesn't look like he's having problems walking or nothing. So that's a good sign.
That is a good sign. Remember, Jamar Chase was the guy that led this whole push that Joe Burrow shouldn't play for the first few weeks of the season. Well, he's going to be playing. No doubt about it. Joe Theismann, who we love, is riding the Zach Gelb train that the Seahawks could contend for the NFC West crown this year. Pat McAfee Show.
Don't sleep on
you
Seattle.
You like Pete? You like Pete, huh? Gino. You like Pete Carroll?
I like what Pete's done. Pete has reloaded, and Geno is recharged. People don't realize Geno Smith had the best completion percentage in football a year ago, 70%. And I think they got better.
I agree they got better. Now, with that being said, I think the Niners will win the NFC West, but the Seahawks will be closer than what you think. And I really do believe, even they won't be the 3 seed because the Niners will win the division, that the Seahawks are going to be the 3rd best team in the NFC this upcoming year. Kevin O'Connell's very excited to have TJ Hockenson around for the long haul.
Thrilled to know we've got TJ here as a major part of our core on offense. We've been able to build on TJ's role here, really have a great process throughout the offseason of, really what it's going to look like within our offensive system for a major player like TJ to be a part of it. And just knowing our young core that we do have our quarterback, where he's at coming out of training camp. I'm very excited about our offensive side.
Hey, you should be excited about the offensive side. And I think T.J. Hockenson is a good player, not a great player. I don't think he deserves record-breaking money. But if you're good, not great, and you're up for a new contract, you have that argument to make that you should reset the market. I get that. And how many times do you see with quarterbacks, good quarterbacks, not great, quarterbacks end up resetting the market? It comes down to that defense. And can they just be a 19th or 20th defense in the league? And I think the Vikings are going to win a good amount of games this year, and they'll be NFC North champions, and then they'll disappoint in the playoffs. Kevin Stefanski on why the players voted Deshaun Watson as a captain.
That's very, very natural for him to lead. And I think he's comfortable leading from out in front. I think he's comfortable from leading and letting his teammates get credit. And that's just something that he's always done his whole life. And just the way he's integrated himself into this football team is impressive to watch from the course of the moment he got here to now. Just seeing how he's gotten to know everybody on his team, how he pushes them, how he motivates them. I think you're seeing a lot of examples of high-quality leadership from Deshaun in particular.
So it's a player's vote. Now, if it was up to the coach, if it was up to, like, the general manager, they would have given him the captaincy anyway. Because Kevin Stefanski knows he needs to have a good relationship with Deshaun Watson this year. It is just wild to me, and I know talent wins out in this league, with what Deshaun Watson was accused of off the field, and then he got the contract that he did, and then after 5-6 games the next year, he's a team captain. I don't love that message, but what am I going to do, sit here and fight it? We know Deshaun Watson is the man for the foreseeable future with the Cleveland Browns because of what the contract states with the fully guaranteed deal. And finally, Deion Sanders' players aren't backing down from anyone this year.
They came here because they wanted the light, they wanted the smoke, they wanted the attention, they wanted the focus, they wanted the love. I mean, but also you got to understand there's an opposite of that as well, that you got to be willing to accept when you want all and desire those things. These kids are ready. So I like what I see on a daily basis. I really do.
There's no high expectations for Colorado this year, but they'll be the most scrutinized team in college football, or one of them, because every week it's going to be, what is Deion Sanders going to do? What is Deion Sanders going to do? And I think if this team wins 4 or 5 games this year, it's a massive improvement. But you know Deion is one of the great entertainers, great promoters of all time. So he's always going to hype up his team. He told us he's going to win, and he can't wait to kind of clap back at the people that are counting him out right now. But that's going to be a team that we're going to be talking about each and every week, regardless of their record. Coach Dan Mullen joins us next.